Thanks, Jace. That was some good encouragement and some good things to reflect on. I'm going to adjust this up just a hair. I wanted to share a little bit this morning in some areas that are going to tie a little bit to what Jason was sharing. Maybe we can start in Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." And I was reflecting this week and just, I know there are some things I was looking for wisdom on and asking the Lord to help me understand what the best way to do some things were. And I just was reflecting on this verse, that the first name here mentioned about the child born, about Jesus Christ, that he would be a wonderful counselor. And I was like, man, like I feel like I want to know that better. I want to know and be able to hear from Jesus and have him be a wonderful counselor to me, to help me understand the path I need to go, to help me have his guidance, to learn from mistakes, to be able to walk this life in a way that isn't just a fruitless walking around in the wilderness and not actually getting anywhere, but actually hearing his counsel and taking heed to it and learning from it, so that I can have that blessing in my own life and also have that blessing for my family and for those that I have contact with. So I don't know, to that end, I just was looking up some verses, and I don't need to share long, but I thought there was just some verses that kind of encouraged me along that vein, just looking at in Isaiah and Proverbs and Psalms. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to start in verse 24. Now I'll start in verse 23. It says, "Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my words. Does the farmer plow continually to plant seed? Does he continually turn and harrow the ground? Does he not level its surface and sow dill and scatter cumin and plant wheat and rows and barley in its place and rye within its area? For God instructs and teaches him properly. For dill is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel driven over cumin. But dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Grain for bread is crushed. Indeed, he does not continue to thresh it forever, because the wheel of his cart and the horses eventually damage it. He does not thresh it longer. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great." And you may wonder what I took from that, but I think if we look at this and start to, I saw it in two ways. First off, I saw it in how, a little bit of what Jason shared about how our Heavenly Father deals with each situation perfectly as it's needed. That Jesus Christ came, and he came in such a way that he was going to strengthen the weak. But he also was going to deal with others in a different way. Like at times, like with Peter sometimes, just using Jason's example, with Peter sometimes, there was just great gentleness and great patience and just continually wooing him back and calling him back. And other times, he was really strong with Peter and said, like, "Get behind me, Satan." Like, he was really rebuked Peter at one time when Peter was feeling pretty confident in himself. And I just read through this passage, and all I could meditate on or think about was all the different ways, given through the just a simple example of a farmer, but all the different ways we can see that God, as our counselor, wants to give us instruction and wants to work in our lives, and we can have a confidence that he's going to work in it perfectly. Like, you just look at this, and he talks about, like, multiple things. Like, first off, he doesn't continually turn up the ground. There's a season in our lives where God may be turning up the ground. He may be softening our hearts and bringing us to repentance and showing us areas where we need to turn from. But it's not continual. He does that season. And then there's another season, because that's a point. And then there's another time where he actually says, "No, I'm going to level the surface. I'm going to start to flatten it out and get ready for new seed to fall on it." And then he says it does things differently. I don't even exactly understand the maybe a spiritual application here, but it says he plants the wheats and rows and barley in its place and rye within its area. And all I took from that was like, our Father knows, and he can work perfectly in our lives. He knows how the wheat needs to grow in rows and barley goes in its place and rye in its area. And when I read that, I had to think of like dealing with my kids, right? Like, I need my Father to show me, like, they're different, right? Like, they have different characteristics, and some are handled one way and others need to be handled a different way. And I'm like, Father, show me, like, show me the right way. Show me how I need to be doing this in your order, in your ways. You have a path, like, you have a perfect way. He's teaching this farmer all these different characteristics, one in rows, one in the area over here, and different timings and different seasons. And I'm just like, there's so much wisdom that God has for us as a wonderful counselor, but we need to hunger for it. Like, it says it in Proverbs, right? Like, how do you get wisdom? You got to have a hunger for it. You got to cry out. You got to ask for it. And if we're just cruising through this life and just either arrogant or not taking things seriously, you can just walk right past it and you're not going to get wisdom. You're not going to get wisdom unless you ask for it, unless you hunger for it and acknowledge your need of it. You're not going to get it. But if you do ask for it, this is the promise that he has for us, that there's great wisdom. He wants to be a wonderful counselor to us. And I just, in last thing in this passage was just the talking about how, like, how he treats the different things, right? Like, it says that the cartwheel is not driven over the cumin. The dill is beaten out with a rod and cumin with a club. Like, when there's an actual harvesting that comes here, some needs to get treated more gently. The cumin and the dill, you drive the cartwheel over them, you'll just ruin it. They needed to be treated gently. And then the grain does get a rougher treatment because it's hard, right? The grain needs the cartwheel driven over it to crush it and break it down to be useful. But even in the grain, he says, he knows when to stop. He knows when to stop. And I couldn't help again but think about that and having a confidence in that, my Heavenly Father, when I'm going through discipline, when we're going through times where our Heavenly Father is chasing us, or we're going through difficulties where he's trying to teach us some things, we can have a confidence that he knows exactly what is needed. He knows whether it needs to be treated more gently or whether it is the right season where it's going to be something that is harsh that we may be really, really feeling the weight of. But we can also have a confidence that he knows when to stop. He knows when the wheat is going to get damaged or when the grain is going to get damaged, and he's going to stop the cartwheel. And I also had the same thought for dealing with my kids, right? Like, Lord, I need this wisdom. I need this wisdom. I need to know how to be able to bring in one situation a gentleness and another situation where there may need to be a firmness. But I just need you to show me. And I don't want to be in a place where I continue, even when you show me to be firm, I don't want to be in a place where I continue to be firm and firm and crushing when eventually you're telling me to stop, that it's not the right time. I'm going to damage things if I keep going in this way that is like a cartwheel crushing the grain. I don't know. And it may seem strange, but I just read through this and I was just like, man, like, even in just this little example of a farmer, it says, God made his counsel wonderful and his wisdom great. And I don't think the application here is just about the farmer, right? Like, it's leading to show us that God knows how to deal with each situation, and he knows how to bring the right wisdom, the right counsel for the situation. And we need to be seeking that, because if we don't, we make mistakes, right? Like, we make mistakes unless we're seeking for this wisdom and counsel and realizing that we don't have it. We have need of it. We have need of God's counsel. We have need of his wisdom. That's the reason it says that Jesus is called the wonderful counselor, because we need it. And what he's going to tell us is going to be wonderful if we have ears to hear. So I'm going to read a few verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 12, verse 15. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. And I was just thinking about that, and I was realizing for myself, like, how often in this life, it's really easy to be that fool, right? Because we just assume that the way we're going is the right way. And then somebody comes or we hear a message or something comes. It's like it's a different direction than what we're going. And I have to be honest, if you're like me, at times we may be hearing the counsel of God and we don't initially like it. We don't initially like it. We might like just be like, you know what? I think the way I'm doing it is good enough. I've sacrificed enough, or this area is not an area that I need to change. It's all good. But the reality is it says a fool is the one who thinks his way is perfect and doesn't take heed to counsel. The wise one is the one who takes heed to counsel. And I was reflecting on that, saying, you know what? How does it come? Like, how does God can speak to us in our hearts? He can speak to us through his word. He can also speak to us through different things that are shared, through different things that other experiences that people have gone through, or things that are shared with us. And I think very often what can come is when we start to get challenged with counsel or wisdom that maybe is different than what we are used to or the way we've been walking, what we immediately start to do is start to find ways to discount what's been said, start to poke holes maybe in the person who shared, or they didn't share it in the right way, or I see this about them and I don't have to listen to what they're saying. And that's true to extent. We need to judge a tree by its fruit. But I also think we got to watch it the other way and just say, you know what? Is this just my resistance to not wanting to change? Is this just my not exactly liking what I'm hearing right now that's causing me to find reasons to cast off this counsel, to cast off this wisdom that maybe I can receive here? And I can say that one way we can certainly be confident that we need to take heed is when it's a message of righteousness, when it's a warning. What's in a warning that says you need to take your walk seriously? We heard some warnings from Jason this morning about loving the world, about friendship with the world being adultery. And you know what? If you're here saying, you know what, I don't need to take it that seriously, I've heard that before, and it's all good, there's lots of Christians out there who are friends with the world, and I know it goes okay with them, I'm telling you right now, that, be on guard. Because you might just be the fool who's walking right in his own eyes and not taking heed to the counsel that's given. You want to be on guard against that and be willing to say, I'm willing to receive, I'm willing to take counsel, I'm willing to listen and reflect on things that maybe are a little different than how I've been living. And especially when it's a warning about walking in righteousness and walking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. So just a couple more verses here. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 19. It says, listen to counsel, Proverbs 19 verse 20. Listen to counsel and accept discipline, that you may be wise the rest of your days. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. I just look at that and just see the promise that's there, right? Like, and it's interesting how it joins counsel and discipline, right? Like, they come together. They come together. Sometimes counsel may just come as truly an answer to prayer and a blessing of having wisdom in how to walk through a situation. But other times, counsel is going to come hand in hand with discipline. It's going to come hand in hand with saying, you know what? This is not the right way. There's a better way to be walking. And when counsel comes with that way, it can be tough to accept. But the promise is that we may be wise the rest of our days, that we may have a wisdom that comes from learning that counsel. We may be able to escape the snares of the enemy. We may be able to escape ways that the enemy wants to bring destruction on ourselves, on our relationships, in our homes. Like, we need to take it seriously. When I say this, like, when I'm talking about counsel, I'm not necessarily, yeah, we got to make decisions about our work. Where am I going to work? What am I going to do for a career? And where am I going to go to school as a young person? Or what career I'm going to have? These are areas where we do want to have and make wise decisions. But this is not primarily the counsel that I'm talking about. The counsel that I'm talking about is about escaping the snares of the enemy. The counsel I'm talking about is escaping the ways the enemy wants to destroy our lives and the lives of those around us. To take heed to counsel, to say, you know what? I'm going to be on guard against bitterness that wants to come into my heart. I'm going to be on guard against unforgiveness. I'm going to be on guard against the different ways the enemy wants to bring lust into my life. Everyone in the world, Everyone in the world may be saying it's okay to partake of these different things, to watch these movies, to listen to this music, do this other stuff. But the counsel of God may be saying, no, guard yourself against this. You're going to be one in 100. 99 people are going to say you're legalistic or you're off track by doing this. But the one in 100 may listen to God's counsel and truly have wisdom from that. You can actually gain wisdom and be wise your days because you took heed to the counsel that God had given through his word, through counsel of those who have walked ahead and we've seen a good example, or even just the counsel that came to your heart, that conviction that said, I shouldn't be doing this. I got to step away from this. And it's hard. Like I said, counsel can be hard to receive. But when we do that and when we embrace it and we accept the discipline, we can actually have God's wisdom. And we can have a place where we can have God's will established in our life. And it's a firm foundation to build on. Why does it say God's will stand? Does that mean we go through life and just have crystal clear clarity on every single thing that's going to happen and this is what I make a decision and it never goes sideways? No, it doesn't mean that. I've never lived that, and I haven't heard of too many believers, wherever they are on the spectrum of knowing the Lord, that said, I never was surprised by anything in my life. I made a decision and it went perfectly. Nothing caught me off guard. That's not what it means when it says the ways of counsel of the Lord will stand. But you want to know what it means when counsel of the Lord will stand? It says, dig down and build on the rock. Build on the rock. And when the floods come and the rains come, the house stands. That's what it's talking about when it says the counsel of the Lord will stand. It means that when temptation comes, when difficulty comes, we don't collapse. We don't give in to the enemy's schemes and have bitterness come into our life or collapse into temptation. When the test comes and the trials come, we're able to stand because we built on the rock. We took heed to God's counsel. That's when I read this, I mean, yes, I'm asking for wisdom. I do ask for wisdom in daily decisions about what to do and how to do a good job at work or how to do different things. I ask for wisdom. But the important wisdom is the wisdom that affects our life, affects the course of our walk with our Savior, affects whether the enemy is able to come in and sow sin into our life or pull us astray. That's what it means when it says the counsel of the Lord will stand, and we too will be able to stand. We will find that in the time of temptation, in the time of difficulty, we are able to stand. We don't collapse and end up in situations that we regret and need to repent of. We're actually able to stand because the grace of God is there. We've been taking heed to his counsel. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 32. I'll end here. Psalm chapter 32, verse 89. Verse 89. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse and mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to hold them in check, or otherwise they will not come near you. It's a wonderful promise that our Heavenly Father is going to be giving us counsel. He's going to be leading us with his eye on our lives. He understands perfectly what we're going through. He understands perfectly the temptation and the test and the difficulty. When we get counsel, when we feel the Holy Spirit is leading us to walk in a path that may be difficult, you may be saying, like, listen, my parents don't understand this. They haven't had to live the life I've lived. Or you may be as an adult saying, none of the other brothers and sisters in the church, they haven't had to walk through this with their children or different things, right? And that's not to say we can't get counsel from one another, even if we haven't walked exactly in the same footsteps as someone else, because I don't believe that. We see that in the New Testament. Paul gave lots of counsel because the Holy Spirit helped him. But all that being said, even if we have that, even if we're going through a situation we don't really see anyone who can necessarily directly identify with it, we know that our Heavenly Father, if he's giving us counsel, if he's giving us direction, he knows it perfectly. His eye, he who understands it perfectly and has perfect sympathy in our weaknesses, he understands it perfectly. He's giving us that conviction. He's giving us that wisdom as to how to walk with a perfect understanding of what we're going through. Even if no one else can understand it, even if no one else has had to walk through what you're walking through, Our Heavenly Father is giving us counsel with his eye upon us. He sees it and understands it. But he also warns us, don't be as a horse and a mule. Those who cannot be trained without harsh discipline. That's what it's talking about. Horses and mules. I mean, some actually see a horse as a pretty smart animal because you can pull its bridle and it'll obey you, which is quite a phenomenal thing for people who know how to manage a horse. But all that being said is that's not how it's to be with us. We're not to have a walk with Jesus Christ where our mouths, like, we actually have to experience pain, because I believe that's how it works. I know some of you guys can tell me far better, but I think that's how it works. They feel a little bit of pain in their mouth, and that's what causes them to turn their heads. That's not how it's to be with us. We're to be able to be those who hear God's counsel, who take heed to God's counsel and walk in it, have a soft heart. That's what it's talking about. It says, don't be those who have a hard heart and have to experience pain, have to have a rough and won't turn unless you force them to turn through a device that is putting pain into their mouth. Rather be those who have a soft heart, who are listening and able to take heed, who are learning from their mistakes, who are humble and take heed to what God is saying and are able to learn from that. Don't be as the horse and mule. So I'll stop there. I think if you want to read further, it's like you can tie this into the New Testament where it talks about discerning the will of the Lord. And there's lots of good passages in the New Testament. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 is a good one to start about being able to discern God's will. Paul prays it in multiple letters to the churches. He's praying that the churches will be able to discern God's will. And why is that? Is he praying that just so that they'll make Paul proud and be a church that has a good name? Well, I know he wants the church to have a good testimony, but he's praying it for the sake of the brothers and sisters there. He's praying they would be able to discern God's will and learn his ways for the sake of their own lives, so that all that Jesus wants to do for them, all that God has planned for them, can start to bear itself out, can work itself out in their lives, because they're taking heed to God's counsel. They're learning his ways, and they're hungering for it. They're asking for it, saying, God, show me, help me.